The doctor fits him with these hearing aids, and he said, try it for a week. Well, the man goes out, and it's like he hears perfectly. And he comes back a week or so later, and the doctor checks his hearing, and he says, you can hear perfectly. He said, I bet your family is thrilled. And the older gentleman said, I haven't told them yet. He says, I just sit around and listen to my kids' conversations. I've changed my will 3 times already.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne was telling us how God used to accomplish his purposes in Old Testament times through prophets, priests, and kings. Well, today, Pastor Wayne will show us that God is still raising up individuals with unique giftings in order to fulfill his great plan. Who knows? You just might be a king. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Prophets, Priests, and Kings.
Priests are those who speak to God on behalf of people. They bring them closer. Well, who are these? Let's read what it says here. Go. But you are a royal priesthood, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Would you circle the word you? Because it means you. That's right. You know what the Bible says? Look around, folks. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people after God's own possession, to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Your testimony, your example will usher people closer to God. My prayer is that whenever I leave a place or a group of people or a situation or a supermarket or a grocery store, whatever, somehow, a group of friends, somehow, Lord, I pray, when I leave, may they be just a little closer to you. No, not all the way, just a little closer. And so if you do that, and if we all do that, can you understand how people just will constantly get closer and closer to God? That's the role of the priesthood of God. That's us here, folks. I remember when I was in college, this was my BC days, and I thought Christians were weird. Some still are. But I thought they were just weird, so I stayed away from Christians. And if you would say, how far were you from God, Wayne, like a -1 to a -10, I was -14. I just did not want to have anything to do with God. I'd rather have my reefer parties and rock and roll and the other things that I was doing. Except for the fact that one guy named Mike one day at the college I was going to invited me to this Christian concert. He just said, hey, there's this concert coming, and would you like to go? Because he knew we played guitar together in a music class. And he said, hey, would you like to come? I said, a Christian? Yeah, but come, they're really good. And the guitarist was supposed to be really good, so I went. He picked me up. He took me to the concert. He bought me dinner. I like that. And then after it was done, I thought, that guy was pretty cool. And you know what he did when he left? My heart warmed, not all the way, but I was like, instead of -14, I was -12 or -10 now. And then another guy named Dave invited me to this Campus Crusade Bible study. And they didn't push anything on me. It was just neat. I just listened. Then we had lunch and we talked and laughed. And my heart warmed up to a -8. And then they had an outing that went to the beach and to the coast. And so I went with them. When I came back, I thought, man, these people aren't that weird. They're pretty nice. And it was warmed up to a -6. And then another group did something and it was -1. And I was just that close. And then they invited me to a Bible study. And it wasn't weird. It wasn't a cultish thing. I'm that dumb, but I could sense it. And they invited me to just, their hearts were really pure. And when one guy spoke the gospel, prophetically spoke on behalf of God to man, I raised my hand and I stepped over the line of faith. Now, was it just that message? No, it was priests and prophet working together. And someone stepped over the line of faith. The priests, as it were, people just touching on my life and warming it up just a little bit closer to God. The role of a priest. And the Bible says that we're all part of that royal priesthood. It's sort of like they don't hit a home run, these priests, when they get up to bat. It's sort of like they bunt or they have a little hit and they get on first base. That's all. And then they get on second base. And they get on third base. And they pack up the bases. Prophet, priest, now let me tell you about the third. Would you write the word kings? Now, kings are those who will resource the advance of the government of God. Now, God puts these people who are influential in our communities and civil life and business and commerce. These are people that are affluent and influential. Affluential and influential. These are big hitters. It's sort of like when they come up to bat, the prophets and priests, they have the bases packed. This guy comes and he knocks it out of the park. He has the resource to be able to advance the kingdom in a large way. So when he knocks it out of the park, he's a big hitter. It's not a home run. It's a grand slam. Now, when a big hitter comes up, he doesn't bunt. He doesn't just hit for a base hit. He swings for the fence and something happens. Now, they don't try for a single. They go for the fence. And the advance of the kingdom of God is huge. When I was 31 years old, I was still living in Oregon, and the Lord had laid on my heart and Anna's to come back home and begin the New Hope Ministries, and I just thought, I don't have the money. We didn't even have enough money to buy a ticket. And so, but I knew that God was saying that. I knew. And we began to have garage sales and trying to get things in order. We just didn't have enough money. And when you're starting something fresh, there's no salary, just zip. And I remember a man named Alan and Carol Maxwell. Alan invited me to lunch. And we were talking about what God was saying. And at the end of the lunchtime, he slid a manila envelope over to me. And he said, God asked me to give this to you. I opened it up later. It contained $40,000. Now, this was in 84, so it's like 70 or 80,000 now, but $40,000, and that's what Anna and I used to fly our family, our goods over, and that was our salary, the rest of it, for the first year, because the church didn't have any funds. It was after a year the church grew enough to start paying us, and since then, we've pioneered 86 churches, and we then over here, and even this church in the last 10 years, 31,000 people have accepted Christ. And you think about all the New Hope movement that's gone on. You think about it, it was because one king got up to the plate and swung for the fence and it advanced the kingdom of God. It didn't matter if I had the readiness or the zeal, but when we start working together, it's a grand slam, not just a home run. It's a grand slam. Now, we have some kings who are in this church, I believe. Kings that will get up to bat and sometimes will say, oh, I'll just hit a bunt. No, swing for the fence. Well, the reason I don't swing for the fence anymore, Wayne, is because I did that before and there was somebody on first, second, and third. I swung for the fence and the first base guy tripped over his shoelaces. The second guy was weird. Third guy was asleep at the switch and they threw us all out. Forget it. Doesn't work. I tried. No, I say to you, you keep swinging for the fence. That's who you are. That's your assignment. That's your DNA. You swing for the fence because they're going to pack up the bases and you're going to get up there and you're going to swing for the fence and there's going to be grand slams again and again. And when the prophet, priests, and kings in this place begin to work together, folks, listen, nothing is impossible. The presence of God moves just like in the day of David. That's what it's all about, the unity and everybody working in their roles. Just recently, a year ago, a man named Warren Buffett, 87 years old, donated probably the largest philanthropic donation given in the United States of America to the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, which is given to finding cures for diseases and helping education in schools that are not as able, but to help them. Already has $20 billion in that foundation. Warren Buffett gave another $30 billion to that. $50 billion now. $1 billion now. $30 billion, not million. You know what the difference is between a million and a billion? A million seconds from now is 11 days from now. A million seconds. A billion seconds, 32 years from now. Big difference. He gave $30 billion. And Bill Gates stood up when he accepted this. He said, with this donation, watch, we will be able to find cures for the top 20 diseases that has been terrorizing mankind. AIDS, HIV, all these other kinds of things, tuberculosis, all these different diseases and struggles and problems, cancer. He says, we're going to find cures for the top 20 diseases. Now, whether they do or not with $50 billion, I bet they get pretty close. You think that will advance mankind? When a king got up to bat and swung for the fence, you think that's going to advance mankind? You better believe it. Now, will Warren Buffett be able to do it all himself? No, he's going to have chemists, biologists, medical personnel, trying, checking, researching, discovering, all of these things. So he's a king, as it were, but he still needs everybody to, and even if, even non-Christians, because I don't know if he's a Christian, but even non-Christians somehow intrinsically know, he's 87 years old, at the end, he knows that all, because you got to think, how many years do you think it took him to amass $30 billion? The hours, the days, the risks that he would take, the research, the flying, the contacts for $30 billion now. But even someone who is not necessarily a Christian knows it's intrinsically in them that money is not an end in itself. It's really for something far greater. And when we work together, huge advances take place. When we split them up, because boy, if the devil can split up the prophet, priests, and kings here, he impedes everything. And God is waiting for us to work together. And as soon as, boom, it works together, nothing will be impossible. Watch what takes place. And so even within him, he knew that the reason for money is not one day to die and give it to probate court and let his kids fight over it. Oh, by the way, you know the worst, the ugliest counseling I've ever had in my whole pastoral ministry is when an inheritance is left for the kids and they start fighting over it. Oh man, is that ugly. I mean, it turns a brother and sister into terrorists against one another. They go after each other. They split things up. I mean, it's like money just warps people, destroys everything. And I thought, man, so we intrinsically know within ourselves that this is for something for good, for far greater. And God is saying, the kings, when you partner with prophets and priests, virtually nothing will be impossible for the assignment that God has given to us. But there's got to be a unity and an obedience. And it's not just to leave it to probate court. A story is told of a wealthy elderly man, 90 years old, had a problem for years hearing, just couldn't hear. Well, he goes to the doctor, and the doctor fits him with these hearing aids, and he said, try it for a week. Well, the man goes out, and it's like he hears perfectly. And he comes back a week or so later, and the doctor checks his hearing, and he says, you can hear perfectly. He said, I bet your family is thrilled. And the older gentleman said, I haven't told them yet. And the doctor said, what? He says, I just sit around and listen to my kids' conversations. I've changed my will 3 times already. If the devil can keep those three apart, he impedes what God wants to do. I remember I had written a book called Doing Church as a Team, but I didn't have any money. It was right in the beginning of this church to get it published or for whatever. And I remember a man came and said, how much is it going to take to get that thing flying? And I told him an amount, and he's good, sent me a check. And now Doing Church as a Team is in its 6th printing. And it goes all over the world in 7 different languages. Pretty interesting. Later on, even recently, the book The Divine Mentor was written, but I needed it edited, and I needed editors to go through it. And a lady said, get that thing going. What do you need? I said, I need $10,000 to get some editors working on this thing. She sent me a check and said, do it. It's only 2 months old. It's in its 2nd printing already, The Divine Mentor. I think, wasn't that amazing? And just recently now, it's all recent stuff. recently I've been saying, you know, Lord, you put us here in Hawaii. We need to start reaching Asia and sending some really good missionaries out to Japan, China, Taiwan, some other places. God, but they got to be good, good thinking missionaries. Because I've been there in Japan and some other places, and like the missionaries there, we need good missionaries to go there. Oh, now I know why people don't come to the Lord out there. But I said, Lord, we need, some are good, you know. But I said, Lord, we got to get really good missionaries. Help me to train them, but it's going to cost. True story, just last week a lady said, we need to get some missionaries out there to change Japan. I said, yeah, we do, but I got to develop an intern program, scholarship these kids, help them out, train them. It takes a while. She just sent in a check for $60,000. And then she wrote 50 more, 110,000 came in last week. She said, do you think this will help?
Said, yeah. Well,
do you understand how kings get up to bat and they swing for the fence and they advance the kingdom of God? You got prophets and priests going. You got the bases packed up. We're just waiting for someone to come up. No, not just to bunt, to swing for the fence. And it's not just a home run. It's a grand slam. That's the unity that God wants. And my prayer is for our church that we'll begin to understand this, that all through time, God puts his litmus paper, his dipstick into the prophet, priests, and kings. Are you working together? When you do, it's God says, it's the golden age again. You swing for the fence, swing for the fence. You're a prophet, priest, do what God asks us to do. We'll do it with good hearts because that's how the world will know that Jesus is credible. But when we work together, it's a grand slam. If the devil can keep us apart, you can have the readiness and the desire, but nothing happens. The story is told of this preacher. He came up and he said to the congregation, I have good news and bad news. Good news, we have all the money we need for our new building. Everybody, yay. Bad news, it's still in your pockets. And you know, the Lord may say that to us one day, that it's time for us to begin to look for a place because we're full all five services. And if God wants to do something large, what are we going to do? And God may say it's time. But the Lord says, if prophet, priests, and kings work together, nothing will be impossible. Do you agree? Yes. I agree. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Just when it seems that all your hope is gone,
and pain is all that you can feel,
when there's no place for you to run or hide,
just remember this one thing.
Come together.
Now's the time to lend a hand.
stand together as we conclude. You know, some of you may be here and you'd say, you know, that thing about Jesus being the prophet, priest, and king, I need to know more about that one who is called the King of Kings, who speaks to me on behalf of God and ushers me to him through his life and his death and his resurrection. That King of Kings, that's the one I need in my life. Because you may have gone to church, you may have heard about God, but you're yet to relinquish your life and your past in exchange to receive his future for you. That exchange is called salvation. It comes with forgiveness, accepting what he has done, exchanging your life for his. It's called salvation. But that's going to require your choice. If you've never made that decision, you say, that's what I need to do because God knows I need forgiveness. I want to give you that opportunity today. It'll be the most eternal decision you'll ever make. And if that's you and that's your prayer, would you right now raise a hand and you're saying, yes, Jesus, would you be my Lord? Yeah, okay. Would you be my Savior? Yeah, okay. Yeah, all right. The Lord sees those hands. Yeah, you too. Yeah. To say, Lord, I need forgiveness. I need a new beginning. I want to be born again. Lord, would you do that in my life? Lord, I need a new start. Yeah. You can put your hands down. And by the way, if this is your first time outside, there's some yes packets. Ushers will be holding them. Just take one. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material free of charge. Just take one of those. It'll help you immensely in your first few steps with Christ. And today, if you've never been baptized in water, and this is for everyone, today at 3:00 at Magic Island, when you go under the water, it just simply says, I'm going to die to my old ways. And when you come up, you say, and I'm choosing to live God's way. It's a powerful proclamation. So much so in Matthew 3, when Jesus was baptized, the heavens were split open, and the Father said, this is my beloved Son. This pleases me. Well, we want to be able to do that for our Father today at 3:00. But let's all pray this prayer out loud. Would you repeat this after me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that you came and you died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. Change me. Make me the person you want me to be. I give you my life in exchange for yours. And I say this so everyone hears, so I can hear myself, so you can hear me, and the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to him. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says, amen. Let's welcome these who made that decision to follow Christ for the first time.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Prophets, Priests, and Kings by Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. Thank you for listening. To visit our website where you'll find more helpful resources from Pastor Wayne, his books, tapes, CDs, and much, much more. That web address is www.enewhope.org. That's enewhope.org. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.